to take a moment to pray. You know, we always pray for prayer requests, so keep sending those prayer requests in. You can stand if you want. I see some of you still standing. But as I was reading through them, one that just stood out said, Lord, please pray that I continue to love people. Wow. And then pray that I learn to forgive people. And then pray that I'm submissive to God and obey Him. Woo! Because, you know, the only way we can show that we love God is by obeying Him. Amen. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Can anybody attest to that prayer request? Amen. Yeah. And then there's so many others. I can't go through all of them. But one particular saying, pray for a young mother who is struggling. Her life is being threatened and her baby's life is being threatened. So you know what? We don't know a lot of times what people are going through. Right. We think our problems, and I'm not belittling our problems, but until we hear someone else's story or their problems, oh, thank you, Lord. You know, thank you, Lord, for my problems. Hallelujah. So, Father, we thank you again for this day. God, you didn't have to wake us up this morning. We had running water. Hallelujah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. We had some heat in our house. Hallelujah. Yeah. Hallelujah. 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 Yeah, yeah. We had our lights. We were able to switch that switch, and the lights came on in the name of Jesus. So we don't have anything to complain about, God. You are a loving God. You are a giving God. You take care of all of our needs, and you take care of all of our wants. And so for that, we say hallelujah and thank you, Lord. We come to you this morning with gratitude, with an attitude of thanksgiving in the name of Jesus. So, Lord, you help us, God. Help us, Lord, that we don't take anything for granted, anything that you do for us, God. For this, we give you praise. We pray for families who've lost loved ones on this week. We pray for families who've lost friends, cousins, relatives, aunt, uncles, whoever it may be, husbands, wives. Father, give them peace right now. In the name of Jesus, settle their minds, God. Let them know they can come to you and that you have not forgotten them and you not have not forsaken them. You not have not forsaken us, God. So we thank you. We give you praise and we honor you in Jesus' name. And the church said, amen, amen. Now give the Lord another hand praise because he is so good and he is so worthy of our praise. I'm so thankful that we're able to not just take care of the needs of those who are in our immediate household, but those who come every Wednesday. We've switched the food pantry, but some of you may not know. We usually serve the community on Tuesdays, but now we do that on Wednesdays from, help me out, Pastor, 4 to 6, amen? And so that is such a blessing, and that's because of your generous hospitality, your generous giving, amen? And so we can't beat God's giving, but we ask that you, you know, always they used to tell us, we can't beat his giving, but we can try, amen? So don't forget, as you give, we thank you for your giving, and you can text to give, amen? You can text to give and help me out, 84321, amen. You can come in and give. You can give online, amen. You can text to give. So we are so thankful for your giving, amen.
So again, thank you, dear. Welcome, and God bless you all for joining us, worshiping with us today, both in person and those online. Do me a favor. Put your hands together for those that are watching online.
Hallelujah.
We thank God for you. We really do. We love you, and we're looking forward to seeing you in person. And, you know, we know that God answers prayer. So thank you, Jesus, for praying, and thank you for all the prayer team. You know, we have been praying now every week. Since the church began, so we thank God for that. So just know that God answers prayer. He absolutely does, and he's faithful. We've had so many amazing testimonies of God's faithfulness when it comes to like healing and deliverance and provision. And man, aren't you a witness that God is just faithful? He's just faithful.
Amen,
man,
amen,
let's
amen.
Let's give him
amen.
One more. He's a
hallelujah,
faithful God. That is my testimony.
Hallelujah. Yes. Yes.
Once again, thank you for your prayers and your loyal support and your generous giving, which makes it possible for us to continue the work of the kingdom. And I thank God that when I looked at 2020, I had no idea that 2020 would be such a good financial year for the church. And I'm just telling you that because some people were saying, well, giving went down or whatever. Not here. Giving has increased. So thank you so much for your, I'm looking at God and say, God, you know what? You know how to show out, yes, even in a pandemic, yes, so-called pandemic.
Yes.
So thank all those that have partnered with us, and thank you for just being a part of what God is doing here. If you want to check us out at abundantfaith.org, and you can become a financial partner. Again, as Jesus said, you can text 84321 or send or bring your gifts right here. So my prayer for you, as always, is that as you give, God would continue to give unto you, and may it be pressed down, shaken together, and running over. May God make all grace abound toward you and your family for every good work, we pray in Jesus' name. Those agree with that prayer, why don't you give them a good amen.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, man. I appreciate you. What a blessing and what a privilege. Man, God is so good. I'm excited about, you know, this time. This is our third week in a series on love. And it's just L-O-V-E. It's a four-letter word, but it's a good four-letter word. And that's one I like to use a lot. And I don't even like a day to go by without me expressing that to my wife. I think it's very important that I share with her that I love you. And sometimes I'll say, have I told you lately? And she'll say, yeah, you told me. And something like that. But I try my best not to let a day go by without saying I love you. And I think you all should do the same thing. We got one hand clap. That's a good thing. So I think you all should as well, because you never know when the last time you're going to see a person. Can it get a good amen?
Amen.
Whether it's
amen,
your wife amen, or someone amen, else. So I want to let all of you know that I love you from the bottom of my heart. I really do, genuinely. And I think it's very, very important that we continue to do that. So we thought we would talk a little bit about love here. And so I guess what we say, first three two messages. What do you remember? What comes to mind?
Well, I remember most sitting in a chair and being turned.
Oh, okay. All right.
No, I like the example you gave of how God consistently pursues us.
Wow.
And even when we turn away or feel like we don't need him or he's not there for us, he still turns us around and somehow lets us know that I love you, regardless.
Yeah.
And I'm going to keep loving you.
Yeah, that touched my heart too, because initially, you know, that I thought that God really didn't love me. Because if you hear a message all of your life about how bad you are and how you're going to go to hell and how you're a liar and all stuff, and some of it they told me that I was true because I was a liar. I didn't do things right, but they didn't express the love of God. That's why he came, because I was a sinner. You know, not to send me to hell, but because I was messed up, God sent Jesus to redeem me, to die for me. And that's the message that I need to hear. And that message changed my view of him. And when I recognized how much he loved me, it changed my view of him. It really did. So what else? What else?
There was another thing. I have to look at my notes. And I left some of my notes at home.
That's
but
okay,
one of
sweetheart.
Them was make love your highest goal. Make love your highest goal, because without it, everything else is in vain.
Yeah. I agree. So we've asked a couple to join us today, and I'm going to ask them to come at this time. So we were thinking about who might want to join us. So I asked Marlon and Jasmine to come and have them share, because I thought we'd get a married couple in and one that's not married. So put your hands together for them as they come. What's up, Jay? Don't leave me hanging. What's up?
No.
Dr. Love?
So y'all are in for a treat.
I think so. So if you don't mind, you can either stand or sit. Marlon, help her with her seat first, sir.
All right. Be careful with these.
Yes.
Oh, you're fine, Jita. I'll catch you.
I don't know about that.
So tell us a little bit about yourself, if you don't mind. If you don't mind starting off. And Marlon, we said we're going to lead this, so handle your business.
Yes, sir. Good morning, everybody. My name is Marlon. I've been attending Abundant Faith for about three, 4 years, and I moved to Springfield because I'm a medical student. I just finished the curriculum and will be graduating in the spring. That's
how you do that.
Also, I'm a musician, so I'm sure many of you have either have seen me playing drums or more recently keyboards. My girlfriend Jasmine, we actually met here at the church.
Did you say girlfriend?
Yes, sir.
Oh, okay.
So I'm gonna let her tell her about herself. So,
hi, I'm Jasmine. I've been a member here for a little over 3 years. I moved here to teach, and I
awesome.
Currently teach math at Springfield High School right down the street. So. I also do theater around Springfield.
And so you can act?
A little bit.
No, you can act. You can act. I've seen you. You are so good at drama.
She is. Thank you.
So I'm just letting you know.
Good drama.
Yeah, you're marrying a drama girl. Moving on.
Good or not. And I'm on the praise team here as well, so you've probably seen me up here singing. Also, I'm in the Young Adults Ministry. Shout out to the Young
awesome.
Adults Ministry.
Good deal, good deal. So before I go too much farther, yesterday was my dad's birthday, and he's 85 years old, the greatest example of my life. So happy birthday, Dad. I love you, appreciate you. And thank you and Mom for being the amazing example you are to us, you know, all 9 kids. What a blessing. You stuck and you still stick with us. So when I saw the young man coming in with his children today, he doesn't have 9 yet. But Joshua, you're on your way, man. So keep it up. But it just blesses me. It blesses me to see family, and that's God's plan, is for family. So we've been talking about love, and in this discussion, this round table, this real talk discussion, I want to know that if you have a question, you're online, or you have a comment, please feel free. We've got a place online that you can hit a hands up button, and one of our pastors would be more than happy to talk to you about, you know, whatever your concern might be, or if you want to make a comment, we certainly want to hear about that as well. So I guess we'll start off after we've done introductions. One of the first things I want to say is that how important is love in a relationship? And you know, who wants to jump in on there? We got time. How is it? Is it that important?
Yeah, it's very important.
Okay, talk to me. Talk to me.
More specifically, I mean, there are of course different types of love that we see shown, and I feel like in TV and mainstream we kind of see a worldly view of love, but what's most important is more of a selfless love, a sacrificial love, mm-hmm. An unconditional love,
okay.
Like agape love.
Okay, that's a good one. Now, when I think about love, I think about Deuteronomy, and God was actually speaking Old Testament, and he said, you know, the first thing, you know, love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, all thy soul,
yes.
all thy strength. And
yes.
then in the New Testament, and when Jesus was being questioned by one of the attorneys as well, you know, what's the greatest commandment? And what did Jesus say? Y'all help me out, all those scholars out there. You're exactly right. Good job. Good job. And your neighbor as yourself. That's a good thing. So love is super important. And then if we go further, and Paul said, and this is where we focus our attention, Paul said that, hey, you know, there are 3 things that are going to last forever: faith, hope, and love.
Yes.
But the greatest of these is love. And then he said, make love your highest goal. I'm telling you what, love is important in everything we do. Even one songwriter said, you know, love makes the world go round. And then Michael Jackson said, you know, ABC, it's easy as 1, 2, 3. Y'all don't remember that one. But it was about love. I'm just letting you know. And it's not always easy. Can it get a good amen?
Amen.
Yeah, yeah. So talk to me. Since it's so important, define it. So somebody define love. What when you talk about love, what are you talking about?
I mean, I kind of define.
And if you have to take the mic, that's okay.
Yeah.
No, I'm messing with you. Talk, Jazz.
I kind of define agape love. It's just putting someone else before yourself. Not a, like, what can you do for me type of attitude. But
okay.
Yeah.
All right. Good, Jazz. Anybody else? Jita? When you think of love?
I think of selflessness.
Oh.
And being able to give instead of just receiving.
That's really what you think about?
Well, that's one, I think of a lot of things, but that was what came to my mind first.
All right, then. Praise the Lord.
Because that's so important in relationships in the world, because people are always looking to see what they can get instead of what they can give.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's so important. That's universal.
Well, let me ask you, when we were dating, were you thinking about how you could serve me?
Yes, I was. Well, I was brought up that way. I saw that example in front of me, and I grew up in a household with 8 children, and my dad was a busy man working 2 jobs. My mom was a homemaker, and she worked some outside of the home. But I saw the importance of the roles of being married and how it takes a team. They're not just 2 people, but they are one, and it takes a team to bring things together.
Okay. Well, let me just be real, since this is real talk. Y'all think I got married to serve her?
Mm-mm. I'll help y'all out.
Now, I guarantee you, I wasn't thinking about serving. I was like 17, 18 when I married, when I got to know her, 17 years old. This is probably when we first got together.
Mm-hmm.
And I wasn't thinking about no serving. I guarantee you that. Fellas, what was I thinking about?
Y'all can name it on one hand.
One hand? I'm just being real. We real talk, right? And I'm just saying, oh man, y'all think, please don't think bad of Pastor. I wasn't where I needed to be.
Yeah, but you've shared so many times of what you were expecting.
I know.
To the congregation, you all should know that by now.
I can't believe our pastor.
Somebody to take care of all his needs, physical needs, his stomach needs.
Yeah, you need to cook.
All
definitely.
That.
And I wanted you to have some children because I wanted some babies, you know,
yeah.
So and some sons. So thank you so much. For the 3 sons that you gave me. And I was like, that's important. Was it me at that time? It was. So that's one thing. Marlon, what do you think about? You think about how you can serve now? When you first saw her, you thought about, how can I serve her?
I'm going to be honest. I was just like you. I wasn't thinking that way when I first met Jasmine.
And you were at church?
Yes.
Shonda.
Okay.
So when did you get in the spirit? Well, tell me how did you meet her?
So funny story. The joke is I don't remember when or how me and Jasmine met.
That's a joke.
Stefan introduced us in the elevator right out in the hallway, and
so the love elevator.
Yes. When I start to realize the seriousness of what our relationship has become, the more we talked, we would talk for hours, and the things that would come up in our conversations would be, number one, God, 2, family, goals and things that we want to achieve. And so when I took my eyes away from the physical, I started to see her for what she really was embodying. That's when I was really falling for her. And, compared to my previous relationships, you know, I was a little bit scared because I could feel that this was real, this was serious, and I had to be honest and, you know, really ask myself the question, she's the real deal. Are you ready for this? Are you mature for this?
Wow.
And I was, you know, she had to give me a little bit of a nudge here and there, which was good, though.
What kind of nudge?
She was straight up and be honest and ask, are you ready for this? I'm serious about this, you know, we put the cards out on the table, and, you know, she told me straight up from the start, you know, sex wasn't an option before.
Woo!
You know,
glory.
Marriage is something that she wanted. And at the beginning, because I was in, you know, a volatile relationship prior to dating Jasmine, marriage wasn't on my radar, you know, to be honest. I was more like, and because I had that tainted view, and I give credit to Jasmine about this, you know, she changed that because she's a godly woman and showed me
awesome.
The seriousness of it. So
I'm glad she told you no, man.
Oh, yeah, she's that day one.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's awesome, man. That's great.
Makes me think of what Elder D likes to say, no sampling, no sampling.
Okay, okay, all right, all right. Well, you said something else. You said the relationship was so important because, you know, you said that we want to put God first. Can I let you know that Jesus said when he was talking and explaining things, he said that, you know, everything else, all the other laws hinge on getting this one law right, love, loving God. You know, then loving yourself, and I make sure I clarify this, and then loving others. Some people say loving God, loving others, loving yourself. Well, that's not what he said. Look at the scripture. The scripture says, he says, love the Lord thy God. And then he said, love your neighbors. Mm. How? So you have to love yourself before you can love other folks. Some people don't do a good job of loving themselves. So how can you love anybody else?
Wow.
You know, so you say, well, I'm going to love him real good, but I can't stand me. No, you got to love you. God made you. God created you. God designed you special. And when we think about how he thinks of you, how amazing his thoughts are, you're his masterpiece. He's the master and he made you. So you've got to love yourself. Hello in this house.
Yeah.
Somebody give God a praise. What do you think about that?
Well, that's good. And also, you know, I'm going to take a just a little bit different angle.
Okay.
Even before we even knew Christ, we pray, and our prayer is that when you're a child in that household, if you're not taught love, if you don't see examples of love, when you begin to have relationships with people, you won't know how to show love.
Mm-hmm.
You don't know anything about love, experience of love. If you weren't hugged when you were a child, if you weren't cared for, if you weren't kissed or paid attention to, you bring that baggage into the relationship. So until you know, and that's the next question you were probably going to ask me, until you know the love of Christ for yourself, and it's a learned thing. It's a learned thing. You learn it by example, by what you see, and by what the Bible says. There's so many different scriptures and stories in the Bible about God's love and how he shows us his love. And when we read that, how extravagant his love is, and we're going to talk about Ephesians 3 and 18, God's love being extravagant, being high and deep, all the dimensions of his love for us.
Okay.
It's so important
so
that we know that.
You're exactly right, and good job elaborating. So let me just give you a hand. Marlon, we're just going to try to stay on task here just a little bit. Tell us, you know, we talked about defining love, but talk about the difference between the worldly type of love and the agape type of love that Scripture's talking about.
Sure. So earlier, Pastor Gita and Jasmine gave hints as to what agape love is, which is charity, you know, selfless, you know, sacrificial love. But when you contrast that to worldly love is a wide spectrum, right? So it could be number one to me is very superficial. It's not enduring, and worldly love can depend on how you're feeling in that moment.
Wow, so, that's good. That's good. As you're saying, so if someone gets mad at you, they say, I don't love you anymore, right? That's an example of that.
Sure.
Or if you do something to hurt me, hey, I'm done with you. I'm through. I'm out. I'm outie. You know, holla at your boy.
Sure.
You know, to find the next person. You know.
Yeah. I mean, people, you know, it's sometimes it can be treated as a game or not a sincere process. But, you know, going off emotions or being in the spur of the moment is not healthy. And like Pastor was saying, you know, you're jumping from person to person and you can't develop a relationship. Also, and we kind of touched on this too, you know, sometimes, especially in, you know, romantic relationships, people, you know, associate sex to being synonymous with love, and that's not the case. Actually, it could be, you know, well, actually, it is very detrimental. And can lead you on to the wrong feelings of what you think love is. And
say that again. Say that again. I'm trying to get it.
Oh, so love is real, but if you're thinking sex is love, then sex is not the true love because it's only that particular moment.
Oh.
You know? To just be real, it's like a pleasurable thing, but it doesn't last. It doesn't sustain what you're trying to build with that person.
Oh.
So does that make sense, Pastor?
Yeah. I'm just learning. Y'all young guys teaching me.
And also we kind of talked about this too in prior conversations in preparation for this. You know, even the world, we're bombarded with a lot of things in the media, whether it's social media or, you know, movies, TV shows of what love is supposed to be, these drama shows. I know a lot of people like, was it Bachelorette or the, you know, these shows where people don't meet each other and they're supposed to fall in love.
What's that?
Bachelorette.
What is that about?
It'll be like, well, the Bachelorette is a girl, the Bachelor is a guy, but they like bring on like contestants, like I don't know how many contestants. I've never watched the full season.
Yeah.
But and it's basically like a competition for the love of the Bachelor or the Bachelorette.
Oh, really?
So, yeah.
Okay, cool.
So it can be entertaining to many, but, you know, looking at it is kind of bizarre compared to like, you know, is this really authentic? And that's a big word, too. Worldly love is usually not authentic, and with godly love, it is authentic because it's enduring. It can sustain what you're trying to build, and is not judging either.
Good deal. Jazz, anything to add?
I think he touched on everything.
I didn't pre-warn you on this, but a lot of times girls spend a lot of time thinking about that day that they gonna, you know, have the dress on, gotta get the weight right, gotta get the hair tight, nails and shoes, everything gotta be just, you know, you know. How important is that versus the long-term piece?
I want a marriage more than a wedding, and I've actually been kind of jealous of people in quarantine who've been able to have really small things or get away from things. So, yeah, to be honest, the marriage is much more important than the wedding.
Okay, so that's good. Yeah. You got two or three hands, but not many more than that.
That's okay.
Okay. Jita, we've been married now. I should say,
41.
40 years now.
41.
It hasn't, not 41 yet.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's 40 years.
And
let me thank God for you, first of all, for 40 years. 40 years. And you've been a good wife, too, so it's been good. You've been there for me. I tell you what, fellas, one of the most important things I remember that made me know that I was going to stay with her is when I lost my job, and I was like, man, I was not broke, but I was close. And, you never know, because I wasn't working and she was. And, you know, I had a little ego at the time. You know, can you imagine? I know that's kind of hard to believe.
Little?
So I wasn't bringing money home, and she came home, she's working at the bank at the time. And I was like, hey, babe, I got laid off today. Woo. I'm going through this thing. I didn't know what she was going to say because I was a little egotistic. And she said, honey, you know, nothing's changed. I will make it on my check. Yada, yada, yada. I love you. Yada, yada. What do you want for dinner? So I'm like, whoa, I think I'm going to stick with her. She authentic. And I was like, man, touch my heart forever. I said, I'll forever be in debt to you. She could have said, see, you was acting all big and bad. Now you done lost your job. Now you're going to need a check. She didn't say none of that. See, I'm just telling how some sisters don't go there. Hallelujah. Moving on. So here's my question. Why is it so important to know the love of God prior to getting into a love relationship?
There's a lot of scriptures that come to mind. One is, Ephesians 3:18. I kind of talked on that earlier, but also 1 John 4:7-8 talks about beloved.
Let us
love one another, mm-hmm. for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. But it's so important because if I don't know how much God loves me, and we sang the song, His Love is Extravagant.
Mm-hmm.
He's got some crazy love for us.
Yeah.
And as I was saying earlier, His love is, we It's beyond our understanding.
It is.
Why he loves us so. We do some stuff. We think some stuff. Mm-hmm. We act some kind of way at times. But does he push us away, as Pastor said earlier? Is that love? No. I think about the prodigal son, how he went off and wanted to just spend the money and do all this stuff. But his father was always looking for him, regardless of what he did. And then some people are, so, you know, like, why are we going to have a party for him? He did this, he did that, he acted this kind of way. But that's not the love of God.
Right.
The love of God looks beyond faults and sees our need. And you better believe it, that when you're in a relationship, not just a marriage relationship, in a relationship with people,
that's right.
You're going to have some grace. Because God is a God of grace.
Yes,
he's a God of mercy. He's a God of unconditional love.
Amen.
Does he like what we do? Does he like how we act and what we say? No. But does he still love us? Yes, he does.
That's
hard for our minds to fathom when we look at people who have done some horrific things in life, horrific things to us.
Mm-hmm.
And you say, and God loves them?
Yep.
Yes, he does.
Yep,
so
he
it's so important that we understand the love of God, because when you get into a relationship, because that those people have not arrived. I have not arrived. Pastor has not arrived. He's not perfect. And when he does some of those things, that is just like, oh, my God, I don't believe he did that.
Yeah.
Don't you know God is saying, oh, my God, I don't believe you did that, but I still love you.
Yeah.
But I still love you.
Yeah. But again, when we first got married, I didn't know how to love you. You know, and plus I've been hurt, so I went through a whole bunch of like this, you know, last girl got me. I ain't going through that again. Any of you all out there kind of had that?
Trust issues.
Wait, I want to see your hands. Be truthful now. Okay, I see a few. Yeah, last one got me. It ain't happening no more, man. Broke my heart for like months or so. Like, and here we got another one. I'm going to love, but I ain't going to love all the way. I ain't going to give everything. You know, what's old boy's name? John Legend. He said, all of me.
Yes.
You know,
yes.
All of me loves all of you. Well, I'm letting you know, I love you, but I ain't saying all. Because if I put all in, then I get hurt and tore up. And some of these women, I mean, people. some of the people, they have gone through hurt. And man, every time they think of somebody that they could love, it's like, oh, no. And if I do, it's going to be a whole lot of stipulations up in her. Yeah.
And you know what I was thinking also? Sometimes those relationships or those hiccups you've had in those love relationships, they are teaching moments. Because we've had three sons who have they didn't have a whole lot of relationships, because we weren't for that. I wasn't for no revolving door. That you, every time you turn around, you bring another girl in. But when Pastor talks about how he was hurt in his love relationships, I'll never love that way again. It helped. It was a teaching tool for our sons, because they went. I can remember one in particular went through a relationship and he was so hurt.
Tore up from the flow up.
He was hurt. I can remember two situations, as a matter of fact. But anyway, because of what he went through in life and the relationships and the experience of love, he was able to share with our sons.
Oh, okay. All right, cool.
Those moments are teaching.
And here's
moments.
Another thing. I think it's important, and I want to say this to you all too. Make sure you allow each other to grow, because you're not marrying somebody that's perfect.
That's right.
I got to give them grow room, because man, I just think of all the growth that has taken place in our life.
Relationship.
So you got room for that? You got a lot of grace?
Yeah.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah, I can tell by that serious look on your face. Yeah. Talk to me about giving people room to grow.
Just giving people room to grow is about, I think, respecting that you will change. You will not remain the same person you were when, I believe, I was 25 and Marlon was 29 when we met. So, of course, you know, at, 40 and 44, we won't necessarily be the same, 50 and 54, and being open to that growth and embracing that growth and being a helper within that growth.
That's good. That is good. That's good. You gonna let her grow too?
Absolutely.
All right. Hey, I'm jumping a little bit here, But one thing I talked about is career paths. You know, you're a physician. You're a professional. Yeah, two things. You got two professions. Put two, right? So talk to me about how that's going to blend, because we had to work through that. Because when I told her I was going to, she didn't want to marry a preacher, of course. And I wasn't a preacher when I married her. And then she didn't want to be, you know, so this whole thing. So, and yeah, so we had to get this together. So talk to me about how you all, how that, that whole professional, because, you know, women are professionals today. We got the first black woman president, I mean, vice president.
Absolutely. So, we talked about that early on, goals and things that we want to accomplish. So
you talked about submission?
Eventually, yeah.
That's another question.
I'm just being honest. I mean, you know, Jasmine, she told me this yesterday, actually. You know, once we're married, then I submit to you, as long as you're doing what God is telling you to do.
That's right. That's right.
So she keeps me in check.
Well, can I give you a definition of submission in this section? Submission, actually, and I didn't learn this till later on in life. Do you remember what the definition of submission? Submission is a voluntary response to a love given. And that means that when Jesus showed his love toward me, my voluntary response was, God, whatever you want me to do. You know, hey, you love me so much, I will do whatever you say do. So not forcing someone to do something or doing something against their will. No, my will is to serve you, God, because you loved us so much. I wanted to love my wife so much that her desire would be to submit, and vice versa.
Yes.
She loved me so much that my desire is to submit. So it's a mutual thing, and so we don't fight over submission, not one bit. That is not one of the issues. That's why I bring it up, because a lot of people are like, submit. That's in the Bible.
Well, when you mention it, put it in that perspective, then, you know, we have done that because of our planning. Like, so Jasmine is heavily involved in theater and teaching. The theater scene is East Coast. And with me applying eventually to a residency, you know, she was like, I really would like to go where, you know, I can venture out into that, have a good chance. So because of the love, you know, and wanting her to succeed, I'm like, okay, cool. I'll be applying over there. Because at first I didn't think about really the East Coast. Just to give an example, like how we were trying to mingle and intertwine our careers. But also I want to say this too, we always said we'll keep God first and he'll make it easy and it'll just work out. And as long as he's involved in it, it won't be a stress. It will just happen.
Yes.
As long as we put the work in and have faith and trust in him. So anything else to that?
I think that's all good. And I think with intertwining our, you know, our careers and our goals, we also complement each other in ways. Just even looking at our hobbies, oddly enough, Marlon like produces and creates music, and I write and I sing. You know, he plays the keys, and we complement each other in a lot of ways
good.
Like that.
Yes,
that's
yes.
good. That's good.
Yes.
So there may be some people out watching, and I'm sure there are some people there. So how do you meet the right one today? You know, is it Match.com, Black People Meet, Tinder?
This
is me. I'm asking the question. How are you just going to be on my ear like that, telling me what to say? I'm just asking the question.
Well,
all y'all in here, how do y'all know what Tinder is if you don't do no Tinder? Some of y'all been swiping to the right or to the left.
I think
to the one you love the best. So how do you meet?
I think you have to be. I do think you have to be open to things. You want to vet the app or site that you're using, of course, and make sure it's not the bottom of the barrel like Tinder. But I do have friends who. I have a friend who recently got married, and she met her husband on like Christian Mingle. So things like that, you know, and we know people who met online and ended up married. So, yeah, you do have to be open to that.
So that's how people meet? They meet online?
It's not the only way, of course, okay. But
sometimes it just happens in the elevator. So
yeah.
Okay. Okay. Cool. Cool. Now, let me. On that note, do you have anything? Okay. Well, let me ask this. And what do you look for? And what are signs of things not to look for? Or like, I don't want that. I want this. You know, help me out. Does that make sense? That's a good question. Okay.
And for me, I mean, I knew I wanted someone who would respect me and treat me well. Mm-hmm. That was the number one thing I wanted to go if I was going to go into another relationship. Because the prior one, I had to learn what you shouldn't allow a person to do or how they shouldn't treat you.
Oh, wow. Wow.
So when Jasmine came into my life, you know, it was a learning moment, as Pastor Gita said, with growing. I had to learn how to appreciate her appreciating me, you know. Mm-hmm. So sometimes you don't know what you want. That's possible, too. Mm-hmm. And sometimes you have to just be thankful and grateful that, oh, this is real. This person does this, you know, not just to get something out of it, but it's genuine.
Wow. Wow. So, that's good. Yeah. Yeah. I like that. Jasmine, you've been kind of quiet because, boy, when we was in the room, you just talked. And I mean, like, was like getting me straight on some stuff. you thought I was chauvinistic, you know, but I really love people. Totally. Yeah. So but let me talk to me about what girls are looking for and guys.
I think, well, from
signs that's not the right one.
I think, of course, a lot of women look for, you know, Christian women, of course, want another Christian. Absolutely. Someone who's equally yoked, somebody who they see, you know, leadership in, and and somebody who can not just risk, like for me, for example, I'm practicing celibacy and I'm abstinent. So I not only wanted someone who respected that, but someone who supported it. I think that is
that
as well.
First of all, I thank you for being bold enough to say that. You know, I really do, and I applaud you. So I know that's not popular today, but I thank God for you. I applaud you, and thank you for respecting her. Yeah, because it takes two. Yeah, to do that. I think that's important. Yeah, so you tried it, but it didn't work. That's a good thing.
Oh my goodness.
So you were saying back on track, on point. You were saying that this is what you're looking for someone that understands that.
Yeah, and it's someone who displays that, you know, they're trustworthy, and they're someone you can trust to protect you, and someone you can trust to not just protect you physically, but protect your heart as well. And be your spiritual leader, because that's,
wow,
they will become your covering once you, you know.
That's good. That's excellent. We're about to wrap up because it's you know, our time is out. I know we just got. Do we have? Is there any question? Okay, so let's wrap this one. When it says there's some types of resources, one resource that I call freedom. You know, right? Freedom is really important because it talks about some of the things that you've been through, and I really recommend it. I've been through it twice, and it's really helped me through some things. Because yeah, I've had some challenges. And all of us have. We've gone through things. So just know that that's one help. And Pastor Eddie would be more than happy to help you with that. There's also Right Now Media. Did you tell us about Right Now Media?
Well, that's something that you all have access to. It's free, and we can download that. I think at one time we had information out. I don't even know.
Yeah, we still have information. Just go online, and you can sign up. It's the church pays for it, so it's a valuable tool. It has people from Chan to Tony Evans to Priscilla. Some amazing teachings would absolutely bless you. I encourage you, because you all told me this. You said there's some mentors that you all have, And I have some mentors too. Some mentors and some mentees, even now. Doug King, I send a shout out to you. Robert Blackwell, Bruce Clay, Dwayne Sheriff, all those guys, my parents, you've been an amazing example.
Yes.
And I want to be an example to you all. I don't want to just say, listen to me. No, you watch me. And you don't do just what I say. You watch what I do, and because it's important. And you know, I said to myself, if I could be half the example my dad was to me, to my children, that they would be greatly impacted. So that's good. You got some mentors. Tell us about the mentors you said.
For me, my parents as well. As individuals and within their marriage. My father was in the Navy for 24 years.
Wow.
So their partnership was a little different than traditional because my mom had to take on a lot of roles while he was gone.
Mm.
We would shovel the snow. We would do the yard work. We would do that type of stuff while he was gone. And also just his, you know, sacrifice. He stayed in the Navy longer so that I could go to school. I learned so many lessons from my father. So, yeah.
That's good. That's good. Well, we're going to prepare to pray. And I know that there's some people that I want us to pray for specifically. And I just want to... And won't you stand on your feet? And I just want you to think about loving God with all of you, not holding anything back. Because that's who he is. He wants all of us, and the bottom line is that he loved us beyond ourselves and past all the mess ups and mistakes we had.